Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. We're starting two lines from the bottom of the Amud. As you recall, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah that when you leave one Makayim and you go to another Makayim, you're supposed to go and continue with the same Chumrois that you had where you came from, and you're supposed to adopt the new Chumrois of the place that you are coming to. To quote the Mishnah, Nun Omid Aleph on the bottom, Mokim Shenoagu Lasis Malocha Ba'arvi Psochim Ad Chatzois. Those places where the minig was that they did allow for doing Malocha until Chatzois, it was universal that you didn't do Malocha after Chatzois. In fact, the Top Tosis says that this may be even the Araisa, all because of the fact that you're bringing a Korban, and when you bring a Korban, it's like your own private Yontif, and you're not going to do any Malocha. That's the Top Tosis. But until Chatzois, there was a Machloikis HaMinhogim, some places that were noig not to do Malocha at Chatzois, some places they did allow to do Malocha. So the Mishnah says, Moksh Nogu Lasa Malocha Be'arib Sochem at Chatzois, Oisin, you can continue doing. Mokim shenogu shalat shalivasis ein oisin, then don't. Ha'hoilich v'mokim l'mokim, ha'mokim she'oisin, l'mokim she'ein oisin. Ha'mokim she'ein oisin, l'mokim she'oisin, noisin olav chumri mokim she'yotzim isham, and the chumri mokim she'olach v'sham, you have to take upon yourself both chumris, both the chumris that you had from where you came from originally, and the new place that you have come to, you have to go and do their chumris as well. So now we have a story where L'choira, as you'll see in the Gemara, the story is not consistent with our Mishnah. What does it say? Two lines on the bottom of Nun Amid Beis, B'nei Choizoi, Noagi Demifrashi Chala Me Aroizer. The people in Choizoi, they were very, very machmir. They gave Chala from Orez. From Orez is from rice. We, of course, don't do that. We only give Chala from the Chamesha Saminim. So this would be a real chumrah that the rest of the world does not have. Also, the Amalei of Yosef. So they told Rav Yosef about this minhag, Amalehu, and he said to them, Nechla Zor Ba'apayu, to be able to go and show them that this minhag is wrong and unnecessary, bring a Zor, meaning a non-Koyim, let him come and take a piece of challah of the Oyres and let him go and start eating it. And then they'll see, how can you eat it? You're not a Koyim. It's the chasimin that challah of Orez is unnecessary, and in fact is goodish, and therefore anybody can eat it. Abayis said to Rav Yosef, Rabbi, I don't understand. We have a brayse in Devarim Mutar V'Achin Nogu and Iser Yatir Shoy Latirim Bifnayim. If there are halachas in Shulchan Aruch where it's mutter, but nevertheless there's some people that have taken upon themselves an isur, then you're not allowed to go and be matir that isur Bifnayim. And the reason is because we're afraid. If you're going to go and tell them that this chumrah is gunish, then they're going to say, oh, other parts of the Torah are also gunish. We have been doing all these things for so many years, and we thought that this is Psalocha L'moish Misinai, this is part of the Aseret HaDibros, only to find out that this really has no basis in fact or in law. Chas v'shalom, everything can start then going out of, unravel and unroll. Amaloi, so said Rav Yosef back to Abaye, La mit maloh. Don't you remember Rav Chizr? Rav Chizr explained that price is talking about Bikusoi, that this only refers to the Kusim. The Vos Epis Dafka, the Kusim, as we'll see in a moment, because the Kusim were very lax in their fulfillment and their performance of the mitzvahs. So we're afraid if there is anything that they are machmir about, don't go and tell them, this is gunish, it's mutter. Then they'll be even more lax about the remaining mitzvahs which they do perform. So this only applies to the kusay. It doesn't apply generally, and that's why Rav Yosef defended his psak, Nechla Zor Biapai. Frank the Yamara, or Frank the Baye to Rav Yosef. But Kusoi my time, what's the reason why by the Kusai? Mishum de Misrachi Milza. What means Misrachi Milza? Zuk the top Rashi. Sarchi Mitzel Shel Kula. Umizalzel and Yoiser. If you're going to go and tell them that they're allowed to go and do this Kula and that Kula as against their prior chumrais, then guess what's going to happen? They're going to be mezalzel even more. Like we said, that the kusim happen to be unfortunately very lax in their performance of mitzvahs. If you're going to take those few mitzvahs where they're machmir, and you're going to say, yeah, it's a zugunish, then chas v'sholem, everything will fall apart. If that's the case, says Abaye, Hanach Inshi, the people that we're talking about there, the Bnei Chozoi, unfortunately, Nami Sarchi Milza, those people unfortunately were also in the same gather, in the same parsha, that unfortunately they're also lax in their performance of the mitzvahs. And so therefore they are, in a sense, just like the Kusoi. Why did you do that, Rav Yosef? Elam Ravashi, therefore Ravashi either is explaining Rav Yosef or is modifying, or he's telling us what should you do in those circumstances, Chazina. Every time when you see something of this nature, and specifically we're talking about the Bnei Chozoi, the Masim, the Oirez, so Chazina, Iruban Oirez Achli, if most of the diet of most of the people in the town and by the Bnei Chozoi, if both of them eat Orez, Lo Nechla Zor Ba'apayu, then you should not have a zor go and start eating the challah that they are mafresh from the orez. You know why? Because they eat so little of the chamishas minei dogan. They're apparently all gluten free. Dilma mishtakha toiras challah minayu. So then they're never going to go and give challah because they never go and bake any of the chamishas minei dogan. So they don't give challah there. And if you're going to tell them, well, you don't have to give challah from orez, then the whole institution of challah will fall away, and then eventually when people do eat bread or do eat matzahs or whatever, they'll say, no, you don't have to do challah. We used to do challah religiously for so many years from our staple, from our rice, and Rav Yosef said that that's ridiculous, so it looks like this whole din of challah now is just an ancient custom which no longer has any bearing to today's times. However, the Ruben Dogan Achli, however, if Reuven the people do eat normal Dogan, like is typical in society, at least in those days, so Nechazor Bapayu, then Ezor should in fact go and teach them that challah of Orez is unnecessary. So you're going to tell me, what's so terrible? Okay, so the Machmeh, they go and give challah from Orez. Says Ravashi, no. It could come out from this Chumrah to a Kilkul. What is the Kilkul? Dilma Osi Lafrushim Min Achiv Al Aptur U Min Aptur Al Hachiv. What happens if they are making two batters simultaneously? One of them happens to be from regular grain, from wheat or barley or whatever, and the other was made both from Orez. Now, when you're doing two batters simultaneously, if they both happen to be from the same min, what you can do is go be mafresh a little bit more from one and be moitzi both. Now, these happen to be separate minim, obviously, and therefore you're not supposed to go and give from one for the other. However, if you're going to tell them, sure, continue giving challah like you've been doing all of these years, then they will just simply assume that these are within the same category. And therefore they might give the mashal from Orez two portions, one for the Orez batter and one for the Dogon batter, or for that matter the other way around. From the Dogon batter, give twice, if you will, or a double portion, one for the Dogon and one for the Orez. So you're going to tell me, no, so they do that. Said, oh, they're going to might be mafresh min achiv al aptur, or min aptur al hachiyov. Manapata lechiyov is an easier case. What's a pata lechiyov? A person is going to be making, again, two batters, one for making rice cakes and one for making bread. So what is he going to do? From the rice, he's going to go and give two portions. He knows that you have to give one out of 24, one out of 48, depending on whether it happens to be a nachtum, whether it happens to be a private balabas. So he's going to go and give a double whammy, a double portion from the musha, from the rice, for the challah, or for the matzah, or for the bread that he's baking. However, when you're going to go and give two portions from rice, you're not going to be moitzi the bread that you're baking, because to be moitzi bread, you have to go and give challah from the dogon. Challah from Orez is gunish. It's as if I was going to throw in a piece of fish or a piece of meat. Kohen will probably take it, but you're not going to be yoitza challah unless you're mafrish from the isa, from the batter. So if they will both be the same batters, or at least in the same category, no. So he's giving min achiyav al hachiyav. But he was giving min a ptur al hachiyav, and he's not going to pater the chiyav of this isa, and people are going to be eating, Rashi calls it tevel. We think of tevel in connection with trumas and maestris, but yet Rashi uses the same term over here, that if you didn't go and give the chalitz, it's as if you're eating tevel. You have to go and give the challah. So that's one obvious problem. Now what happens if it's the other way around? I'm going to go and give from the chiyuv al haptur. I'm going to go and give a double portion to the kohen for the orez. So you think to yourself, so
big deal.
Exactly. What's the problem? Yeah, the problem is that the portion of challah that you're giving for the orez, that really in itself is part of the tevel batter of the dogon, and you have to go and give from that portion that you're giving to the kohen, you have to go and be mafresh challah from it and give it to the kohen. So instead, you're not being mafresh challah from it, but you're giving that portion to the kohen, and it is tevel. Let's not talk about the portion that you're doing for the dog in itself. Let's assume he's going to go and do it in two portions. First, he's saying, okay, he rotsoin, I'm giving this on behalf of the rice. Here, coin. Then, he rotsoin, I'm going to go and do this on behalf of the dog on. Here, coin. So now, the first time when he gave to the coin the portion from the rice, the problem is that that portion from the rice did not, the portion of dog on that he gave on behalf of the rice batter, that was not chal. Why wasn't it chal? Because it's saying, you are chal for rice. Rice has no chiv and chal.
It's meaningless.
Oh, so therefore you have given now to the kohen a piece of the original tevel batter from which no chal was given. Yes, you're calling it chal, but you're not calling it chal for the isa, for the dogan. You're calling it chal for the oiris. So that's meaningless.
Say retroactively when it gets the second one that it covers the first one.
Afraid it doesn't work.
Well, give it to a different kohen.
Number one. And number two, he's giving it in proportion to what he has there. So he's already taken that piece off. Whatever's remaining now, he goes and takes out his calculator and figures out 1/24 or 1/48. Yeah, so he's not giving it for that. He says, that I took care of already. I give it to the kohen and I get out, you know.
They're not equal amounts, especially.
Exactly. So anyway, bottom line is, you're going to have a problem. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Third line from the top of the Rashi. Somebody has a question. Let's just see the Rashi. Third line from the top. It's not in bold font. It's in regular font. Hamafish mena oiris ala dogon. Oichel tevolim. Why? To lechal Hashem ala oiris. You're being mafish from the oiris on the dogon, which of course is potter. So when you're calling it chala, 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 it's meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. For like niskin ha dogon. So therefore the dogon doesn't get its takana. You're going to be eating tevel from the dogon. The mafish mena dogon ala oiris, machil tevel lakoin. He's giving tevel to the coin. Shein Hashem chal ala dogon bishvila oiris. When you say about this piece of dogon batter, you are chal for the oiris. That's meaningless. Shere einu mechuyav. The nimtzu shein zu chal. And therefore he was never mafresh chal from this piece of the pseudo so-called chal. It's not chal. It's tevel. He wanted to use it for hafroshes challah on the orez. But that's meaningless words. So nobody was ever mafresh challah on that batter that he's giving over to the kohen. And now the kohen is going to eat tevel. And therefore we have props. So bottom line to Rav Ashi is that in a situation where most of the townspeople do eat dogon on a regular basis, Ruban dogon achli, then in such a case, nechlazer papayu, we should try to undo this minhag, because this minhag, or this chumrah, unfortunately, although it sounds like a meritorious thing, I'm giving to the kohen an extra portion, I'm being gracious and generous, but unfortunately what I might be doing is making a kilkel vis-a-vis the dogon and the oras in terms of people eating chas v'sholem tevel. Does somebody have a question on the Zoom?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm sorry. I understand that rice is a problem. Are we mixing rice and regular flour? I wasn't clear on that.
We're not mixing the two together. We're making two separate batters. One, a rice batter to go and make delicious rice cakes, and the other one is a batter to go and produce a beautiful bread or a beautiful challah. And now,
if we're trying to make challah from rice, that's what you're saying.
No, so the question is, there's a din that you have to take a hafrosha. Hafrosha means you have to remove a portion, a tithe, every time you are baking a bread, or baking a matzah, or baking a challah. I'm sorry?
Even though you're taking a tithe, it's rice, it's still good anyway. So
exactly, it's a meaningless tithe. Meaningless tithe. So in fact, if you give it from rice for rice, it's not a problem. But if you're giving rice on behalf of the bread, then you're in trouble. Because since it's a meaningless tithe, then it doesn't have any sanctity or any religious significance. Okay? And we continue on next day called Gufa. We return once again to what it said in the Braisa. Dvorim hamutarim v'achirim nogo bohen isur i'at rishoy lahatiran bifneim. If it happens to be something which min halacha is mutter, but some people are noeg and isur, i'at rishoy lahatiran bifneim, and now let it be matter that in front of them, because chas v'shalom, they're going to become more and more lax. And once again, Amar Rav Chinta, like we quoted at the top of the Amid, b'kusoy askinon, only by those types of people like kusim that unfortunately are not meticulous in their performance of mitzvahs. So if you're going to tell them that the mitzvahs that they do perform, that they are meaningless and irrelevant, then chas v'shalom, they'll become even more lax vis-a-vis other mitzvahs. Frank Dimar of Kuli Al Maloi. This is only for Kusoy and not for everybody else. And the Gemara is going to ask a series of three kashas, of three minhagim in three different places, where, and each time it was an unnecessary chumrah, and we're going to see whether or not they did tell them or didn't tell them that this was unnecessary. What time do we have a brisa? You're allowed to have two brothers go to the same Beis HaMerchet or to the same mikveh at the same time, even though they will be undressed in the mikveh or in the room where they are preparing themselves to go to the showers or to the mikveh. It's not an issue. We'll see what possible issue there might be in another few moments. However, in Kavul, even today in Afghanistan, I think the
Kabul
is Kabul. So it could be that this is the same Kabul, Kabul, Vaisalmish. Then Roich the Shriach and the Kabul. But in Kabul, the Minig was not to allow two brothers to be Rochets at the same time. And in fact, guess what happened? Umasa Behuda the Hillel, born of Sharam Gamliel. Ram Gamliel had two sons in this story, Yehuda and Hillel. Shiroch the Shneim Keachet be Kabul. They did go together in the same Beis HaMerchot in Kabul at the same time. And everybody started shouting and condemning Israel. What's going on over here? Yehuda and Hillel, what are they doing? Amru, and they said, we never saw someone that is violating this sacred minhag of ours. Guess what happened? V'nishmat Hillel. So Hillel was heard all of the commotion, and he immediately took his clothing, and he went out the Yotzel Beisachitz, and he went into another room, so that the two should not be together in the same room at the same time. Says the Gemara, he could have done another easy out. He could have told him, Rabbi, it's very nice that you have this minhag, but we look through the whole Rambam and the whole Shulchan Aruch, and there is no such requirement. So, yes, you guys want to have this additional minhag, but it's not really required in the Shulchan Aruch, and so therefore, don't be critical. He didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. Just like it says in this Braisa. Don't go and be matter. Don't make the one second. But that was talking about the kusim. Here we're talking about kovel. So that's kasha number one. L'chayra, we see that Rav Chizda is wrong, that this halacha of don't go and tell people that their minog is a minog to'us and it's unnecessary. Don't say anything. It's not only by kusim, but even in kovel.
Who would care about kusim? I mean, they're not. At the time of Rav Chizda, they're not considered Jews.
Rav Chizda is saying that this braisa, when it was taught, is taught at the time when there was a fiery dispute among the Chachmi Yisrael, with a Kusum or Geri, Arroyas or Geri Emes, right. But regardless, everybody considered them to be part of Klal Yisrael, they were Gerim. It was only in later years, to what I assume you are alluding to,
yeah,
that they decreed they all happened to be Oivdei Avodah Zarah.
And Goyim Gemurah, I mean, their shechita is no good.
And you know, the wine and the shechita, right. And don't be mistaken, so minion and all the rest.
No skusim and all that. So what,
all of that. But so now Rav Chizda is talking about the Braisa, and the time of the Braisa, and this was not decreed as yet, and he's explaining why this Braisa was taught. And Gemara is saying, but it's only by kusim, it doesn't apply to the masses. But I see that in Kovel, this is what Hillel did. He didn't go and say anything. And we have story number two. The Yoitzim Bekur de Kisoin Beshabbos. You're allowed to wear Kur de Kisoin. What exactly are Kur de Kisoin? So Rashi gives us a French term. See, this is a famous Ashkenfunch, Rechovim, which are wide. What are Ashkavunch? We have the benefit of the article that said this is loosely fitting shoes. Shoes which are not tightly...
Slippers.
Well, could be that too. Exactly. Those types of shoes that can easily fall off.
Crocs.
You're allowed to go in...
Crocs today.
Crocs, exactly, Crocs. Oh, you're bringing it down to modern culture. Yeah, Mechavin, yeah. So you're allowed to go and wear such shoes on Shabbos. However, the in Yoitzin Bekurikisin Bishabas Bebiri. In Biri, they were very, very strict. Don't wear the Kurikisin on Shabbos. And as we'll see later in the Gemara, the reason is because they were afraid it would slip off and people might come to go and carry them, since obviously it's somewhat uncomfortable each time you have to go and straighten out your foot. It's falling off the face. You might just carry it. So because of that, they were machbe.
Gloves today, some people don't wear.
Well, in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought this meaning of not wearing gloves. It says that you're allowed to wear gloves, but it says a Yerei Shemaim should not wear gloves on Shabbos if there is no Erev. Shulchan Aruch says, what's the reason? Why? Because the minig was... Now, of course, during this COVID period, it's not such a minig anymore, but pre-COVID, when people would greet each other and they would want to go and extend their hand to one another, they would take their gloves off. Really? Yeah, they took their gloves off. So what happens once you take your gloves off in Rishus HaRabim, and then you strike up a conversation, you might continue walking, holding the gloves in your hand instead of wearing them. So that's why it says Yerei Shemaim should not wear gloves on Shabbos. If there's no Erev, so you shouldn't have that problem. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, the Gemara tells us that in Biri, the minhag was not to wear kurikisin. And now continues the Gemara. Umasa, imagine with the same two Yidin Nochamol, Behudu Behil Banu Sharam Gamliel, they were previously in Kovel, and now they got in trouble in Biri. They come to Biri, and Shiyotsu Kurikisin Mishab, they did wear these very loose fitting shoes on Shabbos, Bibiri. Velozalamdin, everybody, what's going on? The Amram Yemenukah, we never saw something like that. They took it off and they gave it to their avodim instead. Not for their avodim to go and carry, but their avodim to go and wear. Even though an Eved Kenani is mechuyev in all of the mitzvahs, like Shabbos, they're like mitzvahs ki'isha. However, it says in the back, one of the Mephoshim in the back, the Mulay Aroyim, mitzvah, and one of the Mephoshim says in the back that the reason why they gave it to their avodim to wear is because they felt that this is almost like a shvus to shvus. What do you mean like a shvus to shvus? Because after all, mitzat ikra din, you're allowed to go and wear these on Shabbos. It's only here in Biri they have this particular chumrah. And the whole din of not allowing your avodim to go and do malacha, this is of shvises, just like you have shvises behemah, you have the shvises avodim. So vis-a-vis them, that's just like shvises behemah and shvises avodim, there is no... It's not one of the lamites melachos. So if your behema, for instance, is working on Shabbos, you don't get skila, you don't get kores. Maximum, you would go and get malchus if you allow your animal to go and do work. Maybe not even that. Because
we're saying that there's no iser work of behema. We can't lend our...
Did I say there's no iser?
No, so we're saying...
Shvius behema, it doesn't rise to the level of either kores or of skila.
Okay.
It's not one of the lamites melachos. Doesn't say lamites melachos, shvius behemtai. So... Therefore, yes, it's an Isur. Now, there's an Isur simile, because the Pasuk continues on, Avdach Vamoscha, etc. So, therefore, Avadim is also Din of Shvises Avadim. However, Shvises Avadim doesn't rise to the same level of Lametes Malachais. And after all, this is in Biri, where this is an unnecessary Chumrah. So they figured, okay, we ourselves, we're not going to do it. We don't want to enrage the Biri residents, but we'll put in the Avodim. Apparently, they were not upset about the Avodim wearing those loose shoes. Anyway, v'loyrotu lehem, loyimer lehem mutorim atem. L'choyra, both Hillel and Yehuda could have said, Raboisai, it's very noble of you that you had this minig for all these years, but you should know, it's not required. You didn't have to do it. Are you going to go and tell me if it says in the Braisa, I'ata rishoy latinim b'fneim? That's only by the Kusim. Here we're talking about the people in Biri. So, Frank Dimara, we see that this is not just a Kusim rule, like Rav Chizda said. This applies in Kovel. This applies in Biri. And not only that, we have yet a third case. What's the third case? The Yoishon al Safsali Nochrin b'Shabbos, a person's allowed to go and sit down on the benches that are usually sat upon by the goyim. Now, what's the problem in sitting down on a Goyish, a bench, says Rashi, because they didn't just sit there, but this was the place that they would sit and they would go and sell their schoira throughout the week, and presumably on Shabbos as well. And so therefore they are either street peddlers or salesmen, and they would sit down on their benches, and in front of them they would have on the floor or on a table all of their wares that people should go and take a look. Okay, nothing wrong with a Jew sitting down in one of those safsalim, I mean, as long as the goy permits him to sit there. However, in Yoshvin al safsali nocher mishabes ba'akoy, in Akoy they had a chumrah that a Jew should not sit down on the safsali nocher. And again, we'll see in the Gemara shortly, because people might be choshed them that chas v'shalom they're also participating in the masa umatan, in the purchases and sales of the wares on Shabbos. So in Akoy they had a special chumrah. Now Yehuda and Hillel apparently learned the lesson. They didn't get close to Akoy. But Masr b'shimim gamliel she yoshev al safsali nocher mishabes ba'akoy. Oh, Ivaluaza love Kalamadina when I grew used by Yitzhak, everybody's up screaming, what's going on? Omrami Amelorina Kah, we never saw this. Nishvil Gabikarti heard all this commotion. He immediately slipped off of the bench and he sat down on the floor. And he didn't want to go and tell him, Chevra, it's mutter. So we see three separate cases in Kovel and in Biri and in Akoy that they didn't want to go and tell Mutar Matam. L'choyra not like Rav Chizda. And all of these three communities, since they all happen to be B'nai Medina Sayyam, they didn't have Talmidei Chachamim, they didn't have a Rav to go and be Madrach them, so everybody was just doing their own thing. So the local people, very fine, well-intentioned, good-hearted individuals, they said, let's make the following chumras. In Kovel they made one chumra, and in Biri the other one, and in Akkai the third one. That's because they don't have Rabbanan. So therefore, if anything, then they have the status like Kusim, because once you tell them about their time-honored traditions and Minhogim, this is Gunish, it's nothing, then they'll say, oh, if that's nothing, maybe wearing tefillin in the morning is also nothing. Maybe I don't have to wear tzitzis. Maybe I can do other things. And so therefore, the halacha of the Kusim applies to wherever you have Amei Ha'aretz Amaratim. So although the Gemara refers to Akoy as Medinas Hayom, you'll remember that in fact this is a hot potato, if you will. Mm-hmm. Why is it a hot potato? Because there are other Gemaras and Ksuvas and elsewhere where it says that the Bnei HaYeshiva who learned in Eretz Yisrael, when they would leave Eretz Yisrael Bein Azmanim to go home, those that lived in Bavel or other places, so then their Chavrusis and their Chaverim from the Yeshivas would go and escort them until the very end of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael, so they went all the way to the end. And then they said, sayonara, Zayyavetch. Okay, and how far did they go? It says that they went all the way to Akoy, including Akoy. They walked in Akoy, and then when they passed over the border, called to sayonara. And it says in other Gemara, that when people reached Akoy, they would go and kiss the floor, the kippah de Akoy, like it was the custom years ago. Many people, when they came for the first time to Knesset Yisrael, they would get off the plane, and they would go and kiss the ground. So, there were people who came to Akoy, and they kiss the ground of Akoy. Yet our Gemara says that the Akoy people happen to be Medina Sayyam. What's going on? Okay, so that's good. So in the first Mishnah Mesechta's Gittin, when it talks about saying that you have to go and say b'fanei nechtu, b'fanei nechtu, if you bring a get Medina Sayyam, now that where are the borders? Rekem Lemizrach, Rekem Kimizrach. And then it says Ashkeloin, and then it also says, as you say, Akoy Letzofin, the Akoy Kitzofin. Oh, Kitzofin means that it's considered to be Chutzlars, not Eretz Yisrael. So that is Soysa, the other Gemara which we just cited. So Barry is already thinking in his mind. There's a very long Toysis on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, where Toysis says that in fact that Akoy had two districts. Half of Akoy was in Eretz Yisrael, and half of Akoy was in Medinas Hayom. Just like perhaps other cities that also split. You had West Berlin and East Berlin for so many years.
There's a city, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas.
Oh, but those are two separate cities and two separate locations. Yeah. Here we're talking about one city where there's a German iron wall in between, iron curtain, goes to one jurisdiction, the other jurisdiction. So here too, Akoy, half of Akoy is Chutzlars, half of Akoy is in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why they were probably so machmir in Akoy, in the Goyisha part, in the Medina Sayyam part, that Talmidei Chacham shouldn't sit down on the benches over there because people might start thinking that they happen to be adopting, merchants. Maybe they happen to be Goyisha merchants, maybe they're adopting the minig of the merchants, maybe they're becoming lax in their fulfillment of Shabbos Kodesh, etc., etc. Anyway, Ayin Shom in the Toises in the beginning of Gittin. So getting back to Agamar now. The question is, where did these Minhagim come from in the first place? That I can understand. We don't want people to be choshed that Yidin Chas HaSholem are doing business on Shabbos. I'm afraid that these very, very wide-fitting or loose-fitting shoes might mishtalfen. Mishtalfen is similar to the word to slip. It might slip off, and the person might come to carry them in Rosh Hashanah. And the roichs of my time, what's the problem with the roichs and the two brothers? Come on, oh brother, what's the problem? So you want to get a sign, you have a price. In makoil odom roichitz, a person is allowed to go to the base of merchitz with anybody else, of course, from the same gender. Chutz mi'ov, except for with his father. V'chomav, with his shver. Ubal imoy, which is his adoptive father, his stepfather. Ubal achoysoy, and with his brother-in-law. Now, what is the problem in being roiches together with these individuals? So Rashi says, it's really not a problem of those individuals themselves. It's rather that it's going to bring up here Hurim. What are the here Hurim? If a person is going to go together with his father, he might start thinking, if he were to notice his father's Mokam Erva, he might start reminding himself, that's where I emanated from. Although Rashi doesn't say it expressly or explicitly, it sounds like from the art scroll that it's not really a concern vis-a-vis the male person with whom he is going in the Beis HaMerchatz, but he's going to think of the female counterpart. So if you look at the Rashi Me'ovid V'chomov, Rashi smack in the middle of the Amid, Me'ovid V'chomov, Mitosh Shirei Eyu, if he sees his father, he's going to remember that's where he came from, meaning from his mother. He'll start thinking about his mother. The same thing applies to Ishver. He won't think so much about Ishver, but of his Shviger. And he might start thinking about his sister. And that being the case, we don't want him to go together with a male person from his family with whom he is familiar, because he might think of the female counterpart, and Chas V'Shalom could bring the day here Hurim. And says the Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Yehuda matter by Ovid. Rabbi Yehuda says by Ovid it's okay, and they covered Ovid because he can assist his father in the Beis HaMerchatz by bringing him his towel, his clothing, his soap, etc., etc. And so that is counterbalances and outweighs the concerns that he might have here. Vuad in the Baal Imoy, same thing if he is so generous and gracious to his stepfather. The Osu Inu Vigozer Bishnei Achin, there in Kovel, they were Machmer Goyza by the two brothers, Mishon Baal Achoyse, because of the Baal Achoyse. Now, this would seem to be almost like Exer the Exer, because the whole din of the Baal Achoyse, the problem with the brother in law, the Shmugger, not that you're interested in sugar, but you might start thinking about the sister. Okay, so now don't go with the two brothers together, because then you look at your brother, you might start thinking about the sugar, and then you might start thinking about the sister. So isn't that, or not the sister-in-law, but the sister. But the Gemara says that you have now, that's almost like a double gzeira. The brother-in-law, you're going to think about the sister. Now you're going to go with the brother, and then you're going to start thinking about the brother-in-law, and then about the sister. So that would be probably a little bit far-fetched. But what the Gemara probably means to say is that if you're going to go together with your brother, you might start thinking about your sister. In other words, skip the Baal in the middle. But in the Gaza, just like if you're going to go together with your brother-in-law, you might have a Hira Lagabe, your sister. If you're going to go with your brother, you might have a Hira Lagabe, your sister.
Actually, I think it shouldn't be your, because you have a Sheikhas to a sister, a sister-in-law, in case the brother dies without children, mm-hmm. It's more of an immediate. I mean, that's more of an immediate problem. Oh, I mean, I think a sister.
His own sister.
Okay.
Anyway, bottom line is what you're saying is you think that when they made that original takana that you shouldn't go together. No. They should also have asked her to go together with a brother. Why? Because Chas V'Shalom, the brother passed away, then his wife
So a fault to Yibam.
Exactly. So therefore, it's not only the Baal HaChoisai, it should also be the brother that is married to his sister-in-law. But for some reason, they didn't feel that that was necessary. And even in the case of Kovu, where they were Machmer, they didn't do it because of that svar, they did it rather because of the Baal HaChoisai. Okay. Tan in the price we learn, Tan al-Yirchatz im Rabbi, Vim Rabbi, Tzorach le-Mutter. He shouldn't go and be Roichas together with his Rebbe. However, his Rebbe needs him. Now, why shouldn't he go together with his Rebbe? Here Rashi says, not because of the same reason of Oviv, says Rashi, because a person has to show a certain amount of kovod and derech eretz and moir rabbi to his rabbi. And so therefore, if he's rabbi in the merchut, you shouldn't go together with him, unless if the rabbi tzarech loy, if he can go and bring him his clothing, his towel, his soap, whatever, yeah, that's a different story. But otherwise, you shouldn't go to him. In fact, the Mefarshim ask, why doesn't Rashi say the same thing with gabe oviv? Just like we say the gabe rabbi lo yichetzim rabbi, because it's a din of moira harav and kovod harav. So don't we have the same kibud and moira when it comes to father? This should be the same reason. So before Shem asked, why doesn't Rashi give that reason when we spoke about the of? So more about ki osir rav barbachana. Okay, so now we're going to continue talking about various menhagim of different places where it's only really a chumrah, and in other places they didn't have this chumrah at all. Ki also Rabbi Bechana came from Eretz Yisrael, and he's visiting Bavel, and there in Bavel, ochal di ayatra. What's ayatra? Rashi explains, ayatra is a part of the keva. Rashi says the two parts of the keva. Keva, as you know, is one of the four stomachs in every animal. What are the four altogether? We have keva, we have the basicosis and the hemsis, and the keres. So the cave is one of the four. Okay, now what is the shape of the cave? Rashi says the shape of the cave, interestingly enough, is like the bow of a bow and arrow. And anyone that's ever seen a bow knows that one part of the bow is that curvy, like a semicircle type of bow, and then you also have the string of the bow, which of course is straight and taut, and of course you pull on the string to be able to shoot the arrow. Okay, the ayatra, we have this back in Masechtas Erev, and you recall ayatra is referring to the yeser, that's referring to the string part of the keshes. And we talked about if a person had, he was living in a city that was shaped kekeshes, like a bow, and he wants to be able to go and walk the Tchum Shabbos. If he walks from the end of the bow, in other words, the two ends, then it's easy. But what happens if he wants to walk from the middle of the bow? Do you give him a full 2,000 amos after he leaves the whole keshes when he reaches the ayatra? Anyway, that was Masechtas Erevin. So ayatra is referring to the straight part of the keva. Why is this so important? Why are we going into all of this? It's important because Rashi points out that the chelev on the round portion of the keva, that's the round portion of the bow, kuli alma moida, that happens to be osir, that's chelev gomor. The machloikis between the Bnei Bavel and the Bnei Eretz Yisrael was the chelev that was on the ayatra, that is the straight, not the curvy, but the straight portion of the keva. Where in Eretz Yisrael, people were matir, they were mekel, and the Bnei Bavel were noigin boy Isur. So now Rabbi Bechana, back at home in Yerushalayim, or Bnei Brak, or wherever he lived in Eretz Yisrael, he, like everybody else, was eating the fat on top of the ayatra. But he comes to Bavel, and he continues this minhag. And they both walked in. The both of them were great Talmidei Chachamim. As soon as Rabbi Bechana sees them, he does a big cover-up that they shouldn't see that he's eating from the ayatra. But of course, they smelled what was going on. And also, the Yomar Lelabai, they told the Bai the whole story. Amalos Abai said to them, Shavinchu ki kusai. What Rabbi Bechana has done is he's demoted you, and he considers you to be like kusim, because that's the pshat in the Braisa, like Rav Chizda said, that Dvorma mutorim v'achir nogum nisr. This, you're allowed to eat ayatra, Gantz Eretz Yisrael, everybody's eating ayatra. Achir nogum nisr, these two rabbis, like everybody else in Bavel, no yisr, yatr shalati mefneh. There's no reason why he had to do a cover up. He can go and say, Rabbi Yisai, take a look. The only reason why yatr shalati mefneh is only by the kusin, because it may become more lax. But these two great rabbanim are not going to become more lax. So he's made you like into kusin. Frankly, that's what Abaye told him. Avertly told him that story.
Abaye did this obviously for a good reason.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I mean, he wouldn't have said it to create controversy. He might have had some.
I think maybe he was saying is just like we have an extra chumrah here, not to eat the ayatra. Rabbi Bechana has now taken upon himself a chumra that he doesn't want to tell you that he's eating the ayatra, so that because of that brisa. But really, there's no need to go into that chumra because only refers to kusim, and you guys are not kusim. Anyway, Rabbi Bechana Leslie hold it not. What about our Mishnah? Let's go back to our Mishnah. That's how we come to this whole sug in the first place. What does it say in the Mishnah? It says the Mishnah. Are you looking on here on the Psachim? Are you looking for?
No, I'm looking for another Gemara. I'm don't worry, please go ahead.
You don't mind if we continue on?
Not at all. Please, I'm listening.
Okay,
listening.
So we're going from Mokum to Mokum over here. Okay. Anyway, so you put on the Chumri Mokum Shiatu Bishem, Mokum Mokum Shehalach Bisham. So Bazoi Rabbi Bechon is now in Eretz in Bavel. In Bavel, they don't eat it. Why doesn't he go and be noig with the Chumri Mokum Shehalach Bisham? What's going on? Amr Abayi said that we said in our Mishnah that you take upon yourself both chumras, the chumras of your makam of origin and your makam where you are presently. What's the difference between bubble and bubble, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi explained. If you happen to be in Bavel and Bavel, you happen to be two cities in Bavel, since neither of the two is subordinate or subservient to the other one. If you're going to go and start changing the menhogim in front of them and saying, your minig is gunish, and my minig is the real one, what did it say in the Mishnah? Al yishana odom liha machloikis. He's going to cause machloikis. There'll be rift. They'll say, who are you to go and give my menhogim? Go home, we don't need you. So it's going to cause machloikis. So Bavel and Bavel and Yisrael and Yisrael, they're both on the same madrega. Yerushalayim is not better than Bnei Brak, Bnei Brak is not better than Yerushalayim. We're not talking about all the Kedushin, Yerushalayim. A lot of Kedushin Bnei Brak too. But anyway, Inami be Bavel and Yisrael. You're going from Bavel and Yisrael, again, they're both on the same level. Out Bnei Yisrael and Bavel, if you're going from Yisrael, you're going to Bavel, Dushin Nisht. Why not? Kimadanan kaifinan luhu avdin kabasai. We are, if you will, subservient to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore whatever they do in Eretz Yisrael, that is the real custom that you're really supposed to follow. Oh, we're allowed to have chumras too. That's not a problem. But the point is, Eretz Yisrael happens to be superior. We are inferior to them. Now, why are they superior to us and we're inferior to them? Says Rashi, because of the inyan of smicha. The Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael did have smicha. The Rabbanim in Babel did not have smicha. So therefore they are grand rabbis, chief rabbis, and our rabbis in Chutz La'aretz are just regular rabbis. Small R's, not capital R, because they didn't have the institution of smicha. That's what Rashi says. Tosis says, based on a very famous Agadata, in Bava Basra, it says that Avir de Eretz Yisrael machkim, the Avir, the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael machkim, makes people smart. Okay, so now normally when you learn that, okay, it's an agadah, it's a nice agadah. The Gemara is telling us that this is not just an agadah, this is halacha l'maisa. That because in Eretz Yisrael the sages, the Rabbanim, are considered to be wiser, therefore we in Chutz La'aretz, no matter how wise we happen to be, we are not as wise as them. And so therefore, we have to go and subordinate our own value system, our own menhogim, our own chumris, to them, because the Avir Eretz Yisrael is machim. Okay. So therefore, bottom line is, that's why Rabbi Bechana did not have to go and change to the menhogim of Bavel, because menhogim of Eretz Yisrael are superior to those of Bavel. That's teret number one. Rav Ashi, I might have another test. I feel like Eretz Yisrael Bavel. Even if you go and tell me, yes, in general, from Eretz Yisrael Bavel, we should not be Meshana Minhogim. Hani Mili Hechad in Data Lachsar. If a person is going to move permanently to Bavel, so you are now moving from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, now you have to take upon yourself the chumris of your new locale. Don't forget the chumras where you come from. You have the Mesoidus Ovois from your father, from your community. Yeah, keep those menhagim. But now you have to take upon yourself any new stringencies, any new chumras, if you are going to reside there on a permanent basis. Rabbi Bechana was just a tourist. He was just visiting for a week, for a month, for a year, but he intended going home.
He traveled everywhere. Mochar Sosfina. He was all over the world.
Exactly. So since he was traveling everywhere, and he was specifically traveling here to Bavel, but he's going to go home afterwards, since he's a Data Lachzer, he doesn't have to take upon himself and hug him just because he's there temporarily. Only Rabbi Bechana Lebnei. Rabbi Bechana said to his sons, or to his son, depends if it's sons, then it's Bonai, if it's son, then it's Bnei. I assume bonei really means plural, even though the article for some reason says that it's singular. But anyway, he said to his children, bonei loy toichal loy b'fanei v'loy shalom b'fanei, don't eat a yatra in front of me or not in front of me. Even though I, Rabbi Bachana, am eating a yatra, but you guys should not eat a yatra, even in my presence. Why? Because I sure easy is Rabbi Yochanan she'achal. I saw the Heilig Rabbi Yochanan, the Gudol Hador, he ate from it. So I can go and eat because I personally witnessed it. But you didn't have the schir to see Rabbi Yochanan or to see Rabbi Yochanan eat from the Ayatra. Because although I saw it from a reliable source, however, you are looking at me, I am not a reliable source as far as you are concerned, because he's talking out of humility and modesty. Hey, what am I compared to? So don't rely on my minhag. If the minhag amokim is not to eat, don't eat ayat. And this same Rabbi Bachana had a similar situation, and there he took a little bit of a different approach. Rabbi Bachana, Sachli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elozer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Elozer told him, "Pam achas achnasti achar Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lekunya legina." One time I was going after him in the gina in the garden, and it was Shemitah year, and benotos vichei kruv viochal benosanli viomerli beni befanei achoil shalei befanei loy toichal. He gave me from the svichei kruv. Svicha means aftergrowths, which were not seeded, which were not planted, but just grew wild. It's called svichen. Kruv means of cabbage. He took some of those svichen and he ate it after the zman biur. What means after the zman biur? We touched upon this already a little bit yesterday, that it says by Shemitah year, v'lehemtuchav l'chaya asher basoda, tia kol tivuasa le'achol, that although you are allowed to go and eat Shemitah products, you're not allowed to go and sell them, but also be careful to go and don't hoard everything, because if you're going to hoard everything into your home, guess what? The Chayis and Hamis are not going to have anything to eat. Leave some food for them. Okay, so what happens if initially a Shemitah year began, I saw everybody else is running into my fields and chopping whatever they could, which they're allowed to, it's all hefker, and I want to chop some things too. So I take some things and I take it into my apartment, to my house, so I should have food. And then the chayis, which are outside, they come by one day, they knock on the door and they say, "We have nothing to eat." Oh, so then that's what we call the Zman Bior, that from that time, that if it's kola l'chayim min asoda, kalei l'behemtuchom min habayis, then you have to go and take out some of those food items that you hoarded, and you have to go and be mevayer them. In terms of what Bior actually entailed is a machloikis rishonim. But poshup shad means you go and put it out in the field, so that the chayis can now easily eat, and they don't have to worry about starving to death. Okay, so now, this halacha applies to everything that was planted in year 6. Even though everybody knows year 7 is going to be Shemitah, but you can't go and plant in year 6, because otherwise nothing will grow in year 7, and we've got to eat something in year 7. So everybody plants in year 6, and now, Baruch Hashem, in year 7, things are growing. And then the Zman Bior for particular vegetables comes and goes, and from that point on, I cannot hoard anything, I have to go and do the Bior. And guess what happened? For the kruv, also the zman came. It comes to cabbage, the animals need to eat the cabbage, I have to go and take it out. And by the way, for those of you that may be familiar, in Eretz Yisrael today, when it comes Shemitah year, they have zman bior for various types of crops, where the Bez and Batidinim and the Rabbanim, they go and issue almost like a schedule or a calendar, and they say, starting after this date, that's zman bior for apples, for oranges, for this, for that, for dogon, for all different types of crops. Good. Anyway, so getting back to our case of the kruv, it already passed. The zman bior passed. But now you have svichim. Svichim means things that you didn't plant in year number 6, but they're growing wild in year number 7. Now, how do they grow wild on their own if you don't go and plant the seeds? So the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit further down that typically what happens is, as a person is harvesting the tvua or the crops, he goes and takes a sickle and he gives it as a whammy, he gives it a real hard club, and he cuts down the tvua, he cuts the crops, whatever he's cutting, and very often as a result of that hard action of the cutting, very often seeds which are embedded within the crop or the grain that he is cutting, some of those seeds will spill out and fall to the ground, and they'll get embedded in the soil, and guess what? In a month or two from now, they will grow once again. You'll have an impromptu crop that came out on its own. And that's what happens, that's what we call svichim, or aftergrowth. And what our Gemara is going to tell us is that svichim are also osir after the Zman Bir. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed to eat from them, you're just not allowed to hoard them in your house. You take whatever you need for that day, and the rest of it you have to leave in the field for the chayis and for the behemoths. Aha. What about svichei kruv? Now, svichei kruv is going to be a bit of a hot potato. The reason why svichei kruv are different than all other svichim, manishtana, Sigmar again is going to go and tell us, and Rashi also embellishes the explanation, that because the svichei kruv grow, again, the svichei kruv means cabbage which is growing after the harvesting of the cabbage. And a month or two later, you find, hey, new cabbage are growing in the cabbage patch. How did that happen? It is because, in a certain way, the cabbage is similar to trees. That what? You don't have to go and seed trees every year. Seeds, the trees grow automatically year after year. It's not really automatic. It's because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has said trees grow from year to year. But fine, but Lamai said they grow, you don't have to go and seed them. Similarly, the kruv grows from year to year. Mishroshin, says Rashi, from their roots. Apparently, even after you go and cut, when you cut carrots and you cut tomatoes and stuff like that, it leaves no roots in the ground. But cabbage apparently does leave roots in the ground, and therefore even after you cut the cabbage, they will regrow on their own a month or two later, and you'll have brand new svichei kruv. Ah, yes.
How would that be different than the grapefruit? Svichim is like the overgrow, right?
Aftergrowth.
But as you said, you don't have to replant the kruv in the soil. It's not svichim, it's actually kruv, no?
You're 100% right. But the Gemara calls it svichei kruv. So you'll pardon the expression. What the Gemara means to say is anything that grows after the normal harvest.
Spontaneously.
Okay, fine. Normally throughout the...
You'd
harvest Lamosha Lechvais in April, and then in June or July you see certain things are growing. Jeez. The reason those things are growing are because of the aftergrowth of the seeds that fell into the ground. But by the kruv, that's not the reason, but it's still called the aftergrowth because all of its brethren were cut 2 months ago, and you have the brand new kruvim which are growing in the ground. Anyway, benotu svichei kruv, and he took the svichei kruv, he ochal, and he ate it after the zman biur. Benosalina gave me two. V'omalini said, Bini, b'fane achoil, shloi b'fane loy teichal. When I'm there, you can go and eat it in front of me, but if I'm not around, don't eat it on your own. Why? Because Anishar Isi is Rav Shimon Yechoy. She'ochal, I myself saw the Heilige Rav Shimon Yechoy in Miron, that he ate from the Svichei Kruv. Is Kedai Rav Shimon Yechoy, this Michael Love, the fun of Shlai Befanim. I can go and be Soymech, even if he's no longer pressed. But Ata, you, Befanim Yechoy, Shlai Befanim Yechoy. When I am to be here, after all, I have this Nisai Rav Shimon Yechoy. You're in my presence, you can eat. But if you're not in my presence, you shouldn't eat. And this is how the Gemara is concluding that shtickel that we started off. That Rabbi Bachana himself is a little bit inconsistent. Because by the Ayatra, he said, I saw Rabbi Yochanan. So, even if you are Bifana, he said, don't eat. Because don't rely on me. I can rely because I saw Rabbi Yochanan with my own eyes. So I can eat Bifana, Shalai Bifana. But you should not eat Ayatra, Sai Bifana, Sai Shalai Bifana. And the Gemara said, Kligadi Dea Dide. Because in this case of the Shmita, he said differently. He said, "Bafana, you can eat, but Shalei Bafana, you cannot eat."
This is a lav and this is kares.
The Gemara doesn't address why here he was more machmir, here was less machmir. So all the Gemara says that he changed.
Both are mutter, but apparently, but one is a danger of misapprehension of a kares level crime, and this is a lav.
So for all those of you on the Zoom, if you haven't heard it, we'll repeat it. Barry is trying to justify why Rabbi Bachana took a harder approach vis-a-vis the Ayatra than vis-a-vis the Svi. Because the Gab of the Ayatra, that's potentially a Chiyav and Issa Deraisa of Chay, not Deraisa, both of Deraisas, but an Issa of Chores, because of the fact we're talking about Chaylev, and this happens to be just a regular Lav, and that doesn't rise to the same level, and that's why he was perhaps more Mekel. Good. The Gemara of the Maisa doesn't give a reason, just simply says, Pligi de Dei Adidei. But now, since we mentioned by the Svichei Kruv, about Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Frey Timor, my Reb Shimon, this is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, this is one of several rayas that you have whenever you see Reb Shimon in the Mishnah Stam, Stam Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon by Yechai. The sign he wouldn't say Reb Shimon, Oymer kol ha-svichim asurim, all svichim are osur after this man biur, chutz misviche kruv. Why? She'en ki yoytu ben biyar kasada. They are exceptional. They are unique. Everything, including the Sviche Krov, after Zman Biyar, cannot. Utrabaya Liwi Rabbi Kiva, the Sanya. This is Rabbi Kiva. Shteitin Posik. Hey, loy nizrav, loy nesuif, es tvu aseinu. Klal Yisrael is having a bit of a dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to him, Chisoimru, you might say, oi, if we're not going to go and plant, we're not going to harvest in the seventh year. Manoichal bashana shviyas. What are we going to eat? Hey, lo nizra, we cannot plant. Therefore, we cannot go and harvest. And therefore, facing more an obvious question, Umar Bekiva, if you're not planting, of course you can't go and harvest and go and collect your crops. If you didn't plant anything, you can't collect. Oh, mikama svichin shein asurin. Comes to tell you the gabi the din of the svichin, which means that even though we didn't plant them, we still not allowed to go and harvest them if it's after the zman bir. So you see that there is a parish of svichin after growths that grow, if you will, spontaneously. Frank Gemara, fine. Now I understand the isra of svichin. Why is there machloikis the gabi the din of the kruv? My kamefligi rabbanon tzabi gozrin and svichin kruv oto shar svichin the alma. I'm goizer because we're going to be maker by svichin of kruv. That people come be make a svichin, Shimon Tzava, like Ozrin svichin, Krov the svichin. We don't have to go and be goizer. The white tak is svichin, Krov different. So we said it in terms of Balpeh. Take a quick look at the Rashi. Chutz mi svichin, let's say, called a svichin asurin. Rashi is a third of the narrow lines called svichin asurin, bishvias, mizman abivelech, after the zman beer. You're not allowed to go and collect the svichin and take it home. Chutz mi svichin, Krov. You have new leaves which are growing out of the stalks of the cabbage. They are special. Why? Because mishroshim hang down. They are growing from their own shroshim, from their own roots. In that sense, they're like trees. They keep on growing and growing and growing. They're not like the other aftergrowths. How do they grow? Mizera, from the seeds, hanechpat, which is tzeklat, which is banged, at the time of the cutting of the harvest. Then they come and fall down to the ground. They grow spontaneously on their own. It's going to be similar to Zera. That's how I heard the Pshat Kashalia. Says Rashi, I'm a little bit upset about this pshat because these are not really aftergrowths. If you remember, Simcha was asking this question. That's aftergrowth. This is not aftergrowth. This is a continued spontaneous growing. Don't they have kedusha? In other words, I agree they're very similar to trees in this respect that you don't have to replant them; they can continue growing. So you're going to go and tell me by shvias, by trees, that there is no din of aftergrowth, not of aftergrowth, but of zman bir. The time of mishum the kruv you can constantly go and find kruv in the ground the entire winter time. So the chayy always has. There's never a kol l'chaim in asada, kalei l'vehem t'chan abayis. Rashi's v'gim, go, p'snachal t'shver, I'm not so happy with this pshat. Anyway, so that's why svicha kruv are different than regular svichim. Back to the Gemara, ahoy
l'chmi mokhi. You can eat them,
you can't eat them, but you can't hoard them. You can make a, you know, eat them for the
sun. Make a bracha.
You make a bracha, yeah, that's for sure. He just means you can't go and harvest them, take them home. You can, for instance, in the field, or take just one for this particular meal. But you can't go and hoard them anymore.
There's no
isser growing of chaylev or chazer or shmita. Shmita, you're allowed to eat all shmita products, but you're not allowed to go and sell it. And after this man beer, you have to make sure that you don't continue to hoard them at home, eat them out in the fields, or give out the whatever is extra, whatever you need for this for today, sure, but you can't hold anything more. Talking more about it, we have what is a shtickle stira in our Mishnah.
It's a pair of shvies. That pair of shvies were by themselves. There was only the Isser because they gathered it and sold it, but
you had to go and eat
anything.
Exactly. Yeah, no, but otherwise there's no issue then. This is the score when it says it nitfas damim and all these other.
You're allowed to even buy the thing, but you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to sell it, and so therefore that's why you always have the problem of the esroigim when it comes shmita here. How are they allowed to go and sell the esroigim? They're being over on the achal v'loy l'schayre. But if they don't go and sell the esroigim, then we're not going to have an esrog. And in fact, in esrog, whenever it comes shmita here, one of the first things that people do is, if they live near or they know where there happens to be an esrog grove, they immediately rush into those esrog groves to try to go and find good esrogim for sikkis, because they know esrog is usually very expensive, and this way they can go and get it el cheapo.
Okay.
So how do they work it out? So they have what's called a oitz bezin. That's under the auspices of bezin. They're not going to charge more than a certain price. Whatever. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So now, built into our Mishnah, there is a little bit of friction in the Reisha and the Sefer of the Mishnah. If we go back to the Mishnah just for a short moment, we said that Mokka Shinogu Lassim Malacha, if the Minig HaMokkim is to do Malacha, Gizuntai do Malacha. If you haven't been a place where they don't do Malacha, Gizuntai don't do Malacha. If you're going from one place to the other, regardless of whether you're going from the place where they did Malacha to the place where they don't, or from the place that they don't to the place that they do, you don't do Malacha on Erev Yontif. Why? Because if you come from a place where the minig was not to do malacha, continue in your alta minig, don't change him in hug. And if you come to a place where the minig is that they don't do malacha, even though you did malacha until now, don't do malacha. So, bottom line is, don't do malacha if you're going from place to place. But then the Mishnah continues on, Vayishana Urim Neimachlekes. However, don't go and change things and then Chas V'Sholom bring on a machlekes. So now, what's the potential of bringing on a machlekes? What happens if you come from a place where they did not do malacha? Let's start the other way around. You come from a place where they did do malacha, and you come to a place where they don't do malacha, and you're going to continue doing malacha on Erev Pesach. People say, these shaykits, everybody in the kila, everybody knows you're not allowed to do malacha, and you're going to work. How can you do that? So he's going to Chas V'Sholom make machlekes. Now, do you have the same thing the other way around? If he comes from a place where they don't do malacha, and here they do malacha, and he doesn't do malacha on that day, is that also going to cause a machlokes? People say, hey, why aren't you working? You have to work like everybody else. So Gemara is going to now discuss that. Drop the Gemara. Bishlem ha'hoilich memakim she'oisim. Lemakim she'ein oisim. He comes from a place where they do malacha, and he comes to a place where they're very religious and they have a minute they don't do malacha. I can understand very well that we tell the fellow, even though for the last 50 years you've been doing malacha at Erev Pesach, now that you've moved to Chvais B'nei Brak, where they don't do malacha on Erev Yontif, on Erev Pesach, don't do malacha. If you go and you go to your office and do work, you go to the market, you do work, you're making machloikas, shalom machloikas. I understand that. And therefore, v'lo levet, he shouldn't do any work. But let's go the other way around. And l'makim she'ein oisin, l'makim she'oisin, he goes from a place that they didn't do malacha, and he goes now to a place where they do malacha. Al yishan odom ne'amachloikas, don't go and make a change. The navit. So that, what means al yishan? He should not go and change from the minig ha'makim, which means that he should do malacha. That's the chayr when it comes out. L'makim she'ein oisin, l'makim she'oisin, don't make changes, machloikas, he should go and work. Then you should not do work. So now you're making not a machloikis with people, you're making a machloikis in the Mishnah itself. This seems to be an inconsistency. If you're insisting, hold on to your treasured malachas that you used to do, to your treasured minhagim that you did for all these years, and don't go and work. If he's coming to a community where people are working, isn't he making machloikis? So there's a friction here between the two halachas in the Mishnah. Amar Abai says, you're right, Aresha. It's only going on the first case. Another case that we discussed before, if you're going mimokim she'oisin, lemokim she'ein oisin, don't do malacha in your new place. Why not to make machloikis? You shouldn't be the sheikh, it's everybody else is taking the day off and you are working. But not in the second case. In the second case, you take on both chumris, and this ayishan adam ne'machloikis is not referring to that sefer, to that second case, even though you're being mishana. You have to take the chumris of both places, and therefore don't do work. Rova amal olam say can go in the sefer too. V'achi kamar ein v'zumam neishin ne'machloikis. This is not going to cause any strife in the community. Why? My comments. What are you saying? You're going to go and say, this person, he's not doing malacha. He's a frimmer. He's not doing malacha, even though the rest of us are doing malacha. That's not what people are going to go and say. The people are going to go and say, you know why he's not working today? He's lazy.
He's unemployed.
He's unemployed. He doesn't have a job. Hey, listen, half of the shul, people don't go to work any day of the week. He's retired. He's on this. And he's on vacation. He's a holiday. Whatever it happens to be. And so therefore, nobody's going to be choshed that he's making a machloikis and changing menhagim. He's not working because he doesn't have a job. Only Rav Safna about going on nan the adin mikvi the yarcha the yishuv lo yavidnam nei shine machloikis amid barbai. So now we're turning now to another hot potato. This is very relevant today, where you have people from Eretz Yisrael coming to America, America going to Eretz Yisrael, and you have the different menhagim of one day Yom Tov for 2 days Yom Tov, because Yom Tov Sheshul Golias. The question is, we, the Adin Mekvi, the Yarcha, we know when Rosh Chodesh is. Rav Safra is saying to Rav Abba, we here in Babel know when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Now what's the reason why they knew? Because apparently they're very, very close to the border, and so they knew exactly where and when Rosh Chodesh was. So now, as a result, we do not have to be Noheg 2 days of Yontif, because we know exactly. So even though we're technically in Bavel and Chutzlaretz, we are so close to Eretz Yisrael that we know the story. Just like in Eretz Yisrael, they only do 1 day. We are also only going to do 1 day. When we're going to come to a place in a city where they are Noheg Yontif Sheni, we're not going to do any Melacha in front of them, because we don't want anybody to go and be offended. Oh, the Minig HaMakom over here is 2 days. So anytime you want to do Melacha, we'll do it privately. We're going to be Machmer. Yushav lo yavidna. When they share Machlekes. But Midbar Mai, what happens if we're going in a Midbar in Chutz Laaretz, where there's nobody around and nobody knows what's going on? Is there a problem? In front of other people, you should not go and be noyheg as if it's choil. You have to go and you have to worry about people's feelings. But midbar, if midbar nobody's around, then it's okay. He traveled on the second day of Atzeres on Shavuos. Shamti Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef got very angry at him. The reason why he got very angry at him, because of the Isser Tchumen on Yontif. The reason why he did it, because he was coming from Beirav, where they were not Noyig. Could be Rav is still in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Doesn't matter, but bottom line is that where he came from, Prince Yeshiva, they were not Noyig Tchumen on the second day of Atzeres, and in Pumbedisa they were, so Rav Yosef put him in Chayim. Amalei Abayis, Abayis, why do you put him in chayim for? Why don't you go and give him pech, meaning give him malchus, instead of putting him in chayim? Amalei said, Adifa Avdilei, I'm doing him something better. No, I'm doing something better. Why? The Marova in Eretz Yisrael, Mimnu Anegida, the Bar Beirav, Vle Mimnu A Shamta. If Chas Hashon, one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva did something wrong, Mimnu means we will get together to go and make a bezin, to go make a minion, to go and give the person malchus, but we're not going to chas v'sholem go and put him in chayim, because chayim was considered to be much worse, and out kavod haTorah, we wouldn't want to put a person in chayim. So therefore, that's the reason why in Eretz Yisrael they were mimnu anegida, but they were not mimnu a shamta.
But in Chutz Laaretz, did they have the authority to give malchus? I mean,
based on this story, yes. Okay. I mean, at this time, they did have that ability. Mm-hmm. And so now the question is, why are you putting Shamta? So Rav Yosef said, because Shamta, and this may be what you said before, and I said incorrect, Rav Yosef said that Shamta, excommunication, being put into Chayim, is worse than giving Pech. How do I know that it's worse than giving Pech? Because in the Bar Beirav, when they want to go and punish someone, they only go to the step or the stage of giving him malchus, but they won't go and do shamta, because shamta is considered to be really, really bad. And so therefore, I'm going already to the highest level, to the Shamte, and that's why I'm not doing the Nagde. If you look at Rashi, the second line, Dadif minah hachamur mimena, Shamte is worse, because Avdilei osisiloi, Nimnu at Nagde me'averat, Talmud shesorach hayu nimnin lehal koisoi, they would get together in the yeshiva to go and give him malkis, but not to go and put him in either, mishim the Shamte chamura, v'choshin l'kover ha'teira. So therefore, when I'm giving him Shamte, don't ask me why I don't give him malkis. I'm going to the highest level. Exactly. But there was another version. Nagdar of Yosef. Rav Yosef, in fact, didn't put him into Chedim, but he gave him Malkis. Why don't you go and give him Shamta? You should go and put him in Chedim. We're talking about second day of Yom Tov Shoshan Golias. Go and give him Nidui. That's a regular guy. This is a Talmud Chacham. The Tovali Avdi, therefore, I'm doing him a Toiva. The Marava Mimnu Ad Negadata. The Barbirat. Because in Bar Berab they were very careful only to get together to go and give someone Chas V'Shalom Malkus, but they didn't go and give him Shamta, Nidui, or excommunication. And therefore he said, Rabbi Yosef, I want to follow in their footsteps and not Chas V'Shalom rise to the level of Chayim. That's really bad. That's a bizoyin toid of this Talmud Chacham. If we're only going to go and give him Nagda, we're only going to give him Malkus. Any questions from Waisai? Okay, hearing none of it, we're going to continue tomorrow. Ed, you have a question?